Let's look in James chapter number 3. We'll use that for a text, but I want to go in several different places and show you some things. I had a preacher, I was listening, I ride all the time, and I listen to preaching every time I get a chance. And I had one to preach on this subject, and it really pierced my heart, and I want to share with you what the Lord's given me. Now, I'm going to preach on some of my faults tonight. And so, it'd do us good tonight as we listen to this, if we would judge ourselves. You know, any preaching we get, we should judge ourselves. And, you know, examine ourselves and see if the shoe fits. And I ask you, you know, I get the privilege of riding in my truck all over everywhere, and about 50+ thousand miles a year. So I get the privilege of sitting there, just me and Jesus, and He can preach to me, and I can't nudge my neighbor. Amen. I can't say it's He's talking to you, because He's talking to me. And so I ask you tonight, maybe if we could just look at ourselves and maybe pretend that we're the only one in this building and the Lord's speaking directly to us. And I believe what we got tonight, I love the Scripture all the way from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation 22. And every bit of it's profitable. Every bit of it will help you. And, for, you know, the Lord has let me preach on heaven. Last two times I've preached here. And that's dessert. But we're going to eat some collard greens. And we're going to eat some stewed squash. We're going to eat some vegetables tonight that maybe will help us. And fix some things maybe in our life. But let's ask the Lord to help us tonight. Father, we come to You. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your mercy. We're grateful, Lord God, that You love us. Thank You, Jesus, for leaving us Your Word. Thank You for the good Holy Ghost that lives inside of us and directs us. Holy Ghost, I pray, Lord Jesus, I ask You, Father, Lord, that You'd touch us tonight and help us all. We need to hear from You. And I plead the blood of Jesus on Your Word. I ask You, Lord, that it would not return void, but it would accomplish that You send it out for. Help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Alrighty. I want to look here in chapter number 3 and verse number 1. Notice with me it says, "My brethren," that's you and me. How many of y'all saved tonight? Alrighty. You just got your address. Right, you just got your envelope. Now you finna open your envelope and see what's in there. "So my brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation." He says, "For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man," or a mature man, "and able to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, it's full of deadly poison. He says, therewith, with this tongue, bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men which are made after the similitude of God. How is that? And out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. He says, my brethren, there's our address again. He says, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. He said, doeth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. And I want to preach on this thought tonight. Everybody look at me tonight and see if you've ever heard this. Shh. There's been a lot of times in my life I wish I'd have done this instead of opened this. Is anybody with me tonight? Did anybody ever said something to your spouse that you wish you could grab and put back in? Has anybody ever said something to somebody in the church house that you know the Holy Ghost come to you and said, that was inappropriate? Yep, I sure have. Have you ever said anything to anybody at work that the Holy... Ain't you glad for the Holy Ghost? Wouldn't we be a mess tonight if the Lord didn't live down inside of us and correct us when we did wrong? I'm sure I'm glad he does. But you know, I've said things and I've spoke words that I wish to goodness I could take back. But I can't. And I thought about this, you know, it'd be good if we just hush. I mean, you know, it's the truth of the matter is, and by the way, this goes for Facebook too. Or whatever, Instagram, it goes for all your social media. When we speak or we post on those things, we're speaking is what we're doing. And it ought to be appropriate or we ought to just hush. Am I right about it? And I'm telling you, this ain't really that, it ain't gonna be that savory tonight, but it's something we need. I feel like the Holy Ghost, I feel Him prodding me and telling me to go ahead with it. So we need this. We need, a lot of times in this day and hour when we're so social active and we're running to and fro in the earth, we're going and we're hardly ever at home, we hardly ever sleep. Everybody in here is probably at some extension of sleep deprived. Because we're always going, and so we talk more probably than anybody, any other generation that's ever lived. We talk on our cell phones, we talk at home, we talk at work, we talk everywhere. And I wonder if it might be some things that's inappropriate that we're saying. I want to flip back with you, I want to show you a verse over here in Ephesians. The Bible says this in Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse 29. He said, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. That corrupt there, that word means putrefied. It means literally ruined. How many of y'all's ever opened up a gallon of milk and stuck your nose down there or got somebody to smell this and see if it's work and you jerk your head back because it makes you want to gag? That's what this is talking about. Words that's coming out of your mouth that stinks. Words that's coming out of your mouth that's corrupt. He said, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Right? That it may minister grace unto the hearers. So, which words should be seasoned with grace? All of them. You listen to me, every word, there's not a break, there's not a time out that you can tell a dirty joke, there's not a time out where you can bless somebody out, there's not a time out where you can vent. That's the word we like to use today, we like to vent, don't we? But now, Lord said, listen, let it all go, let it be to the edifying of the hearers. Whoever's listening to you, let it be something that edifies or builds up. Now, watch what he said. Now, this caught my attention. Verse number 30. He said, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed in the day of redemption. And grieve not. I wonder, with these two verses back to back, one right on top of the other, and talking about corrupt communication coming out of our mouth, I wonder if the Holy Ghost intentionally put this second here, this 30, verse number 30, right behind 29, because that we grieve the Holy Ghost with the communication and the words that we let come out of our mouth. We grieve, and you know what? When we grieve, listen to me, when we grieve the Holy Spirit of God, we hinder the work of God. When we grieve Him, when I hurt the Lord, He's not going to come in. If we've got bitter stuff in our mouths and we got that corrupt communication coming out of our mouth, if I speak ugly to somebody in here, or if I speak ugly about somebody in here, or if I speak ugly to my wife on the way to church, or if you speak ugly to your children on the way to church, listen to me, I got news for you. You've just grieved the Holy Spirit of God. And don't think you're going to come in here and sit on that pew right there and hear from the Lord. And this ain't going to happen. That's not the way. Am I right about that? So, you're going to have to get it right. And listen to me now. I want to stop and say this tonight. We all in this thing together. Listen now, look about this building here, and we're all different families in this building here, and ain't nobody in here that's made alike. And thank God there ain't. I mean, there's all kind, this is better than Baskin Robbins, there's all kind of flavors in here. There's all kinds of families, there's all kinds of attitudes, there's all kinds of personalities in this building here. And what a blessing that is. God has put us, He's knitted us in the family of God. He's put us in this body as it has pleased Him. He's put us in here perfectly. And the Lord loves me and the Lord loves you. And you know what? We're in this together. We are one. We are, He didn't say the bodies of Christ, did He? He said the body of Christ. The church, not the churches, but the church of God. We are the church. This is His church. This is His bride. Not brides, but bride. We're all in this together. We're all a part. If you're saved in that, you're a part of the body. And you know, as I look across this building, I don't know what it is about this stinking flesh, and you can throw a dart at me if you want to, but every once in a while, I want to look out at somebody, whether it's here, I want to look out at somebody at some other place, and I want to say something negative about them. Is anybody else with me? Sometimes we look at people and we say, you know, I wonder why in the world they done that. How goofy and how crazy. What in the world? Look at these folks in here. Do you honestly think that anybody in this church house wants to have a miserable life? Do you think anybody in this church house wants to do things that hurts the Lord? I mean, intentionally get up in the morning and say, bless God, I'm going to sin today, and I'm going to throw sand in the Lord's eye. No, they ain't. Ain't nobody does that. But you know, the fact of the matter is that oftentimes you and we are going to fail. Can I get a witness? We are going to mess up. We're going to falter. We're going to make wrong choices and we're going to make wrong decisions and we're going to do things wrong. All of us. And sometimes we offend all. We all going to offend sometime. We all going to make mistakes. And you know what? When I see you offend, when I see you fall, when I see you mess up, how foolish is it for me to say, Brother Dan, I like Brother Dan, me and his buddies, and we can talk a little different to one another. We tough-skinned. If I hurt your feelings, brother, you tell me, and I'll apologize in front of everybody. Same here, you know. I said, but you know what? If I see a man mess up, or if I see a lady mess up, you know what my duty is? It ain't to browbeat them. My duty is not to run and tell Brother Tim what Brother Daniel done, right? My duty is not to get up even in a pulpit and browbeat someone. My duty is to get on my knees and call on Brother Daniel. I have no idea what he's been through that week. He may let out some of the most vulgar talk, and I look at that and I say, bless God, I've heard it a thousand times. He's supposed to be a Christian. Well, you may not know what he's been through that week or that month. You may not know what he's going through at home. And listen, he may have reached his tipping point in his flesh. Therefore, what I should do is ask God to help him and strengthen him. Am I right about that? Is it right? So, I wonder with revival coming up, if we really... Just the ones that's in here, maybe two or three listening on the internet. I noticed the numbers listening out there. I got out of that for some reason. I don't listen to it hardly anymore. But you know, wonder if everybody in here would take care of this problem, this tongue, before Sunday, what would happen? You know what? There's a lot of things you said that you sort of pushed to the side. You know you should go apologize for it. Right? Ain't no fun apologizing, is it? But you've said some things negative. You've said some things to somebody or about somebody that's negative, and you should get rid of it. You know what? Isaiah chapter number 6. I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time, but Isaiah chapter number 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. Train filled her temple, and on down it goes. You know what Isaiah recognized first when he saw the seraphims flying around and praising God and saying, holy, holy, holy. You know what he recognized first? There's several woes in chapter 1 through 5. Woes against other people. Woe unto the drunkard. Woe, 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 he says. But you know what in chapter number 6 he said? Woe is me. Why am I a man that's undone? I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell amongst the people of unclean lips. You know what the angel done? The angel didn't come get a rod and beat his backside. The angel didn't come and bless him out, but the angel come and got a coal from the fire and touched his lips and said, your sin is purged. Wonder if we could get our lips purged. What the Lord will do, if you'll read the rest of chapter number 6 in Isaiah, you'll see that the Lord said, hey, I need somebody to go. Isaiah said, here, my Lord, send me. You know what? I wonder if God is looking at Liberty Baptist Church and He's looking for somebody to go, and if we would just say, whoa, it's me. You know, when you get in your altar, when you get in your altar and begin to pray, one of the first things that you should pray is, woe is me. I find myself every single day that I bow down in my special time in prayer. I look at my life, I look at my day, and I say, woe is me. Lord, I shouldn't have done this. I apologize, I'm sorry. Woe. If I'll get that right, maybe the Lord could use me. Maybe the Lord could use us. You know, it's a sad thing. Most people in this building, this Wednesday night crowd, it's a special crowd. I love y'all to death. And I know what you've seen take place in these walls right here. I know what you've... I know. I could start naming people that's walked these aisles, that's sitting right in front of me when the glory fell in this place in heaven. And you know what? Let's just be honest. We don't see a lot of that now, do we? And you know what? You know who's, listen to me, you know who's suffering? Is it you and I? Yeah, I would love it. I'd love to wallow in it. But you know who's suffering? Right there. And the ones down there. Because they've never had the privilege and the honor of sitting in the glory where the house was filled with tears and snot rags all over the floor. Brother Buddy had to hire 10 men to come in and clean up the snot rags. But you know what? Seriously, what a blessing it'd be if these children in here, these young teenagers could sit and see mama squall and daddy squall and the Holy Ghost get on their hearts and move them in a mighty way. And I'm telling you, it could be done if we'd get our hearts right. Jesus has not lost any power at all. Not none. He's omnipotent. You know, wouldn't it be a blessing if we could see that? And we can. He's the same. Notice with me back in our text, and I'm going to hurry right through this. We see, first of all, the pupils of this teaching we're going through. The pupils is brethren. That's all of us is saved. We see the blame. Verse number 2 there, he said, "For in many things we offend all." James 3 and verse 2. "For in many things we offend all." He says, "If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man." This word offend is a very, very interesting word. You know what this word offend means? It literally means to stick your leg out when somebody's walking by in the dark and trip them and make them fall. How about that? Did you know that our words would do such a thing? Did you know that our mouth can offend in such a way that a person that's trying their best to make it in this world and trying their very best to do what they know how to do for the Lord, I can say something and I'm sticking my leg out and tripping them, make them hit the floor. That's the meanest thing. Wouldn't it be mean? Wouldn't it be mean as a snake if I'll use Brother Dalton back here? I've been on. You know, what if Dalton was sitting right there, and this little old lady was sitting on the back row back there, and she was walking down this aisle right here, and Dalton intentionally stuck his leg out and tripped her. Now, Brother Daniel, he'd probably turn around and jack slap him. Am I right? And you, Brother Dalton, you would need that, right? So what's the difference if I say something that's offensive to someone that hurts them in a way? Why do I not need backhanding? Same difference. I tell you one thing. There's been some things said, you know, towards me about some of my family that I had a whole lot rather fall on that carpet and hit my nose. What? Words hurt. All right, the pupils of it. But now let's look at the power of the tongue. The power of this tongue. Power of this tongue. I want to read you a verse in Proverbs, chapter number 18. If you've taken notes, Proverbs chapter number 18, and it's verse number 21. The Bible says this. Watch this. He says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Wow. Do you hear what I said? Death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, you can take some big fellas that's got some big guns and they can punch. You watch that UFC fight and he's come out the other night and I don't see how they don't beat their brains out. It look, I mean, you know, I'm just telling you, they hit so hard and hit so many times, how is their head not like a rotten persimmon? I mean, you know, I don't know why their brains don't come out. But you know what? They get up and they live, but the Bible says that in my tongue I have the power to give death or I have the power to give life. Isn't that something? The power of the Son. Listen, notice verse number 3. The Bible says, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us and turn about their whole body. And he says, behold, the ships. They are so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small help whithersoever the governor listeth. The power of the tongue, we see, is to direct something. It can direct something or somebody. Your words can direct somebody. It can give direction to somebody. So as we take this little helm and turn this ship, or we put this bridle, this little piece of metal with two ropes on it, in the horse's mouth, this bit, and that little farmer, he can get on back to that horse or that mule, and he can turn that powerful horse or mule just by a little tug on that bridle. The same way with your children, the same way with your peers, the same way with the people that's in this church. You've got the power to direct somebody with your words. You speak negative junk to them, and you're going to make a negative person. You want negative children? Speak negative stuff. Encourage. Remember, edify in Ephesians 4:30. You remember that in edification? We need to edify the hearers. We need to encourage the hearers. We need to lift up people and encourage them. They fall down, say, listen, I'm here, I'll help you up. You just tripped over something, let's go again. Not, you should have known better than that. God, what in the world are you doing down there anyway? The power of the tongue can direct somebody. But also it can defile something. Verse number 6, the tongue is a fire. A world of iniquity. So the tongue, among our members, that it defileth the whole body. It defiles. What does that mean? It means to make it dirty. You can take your tongue, you can say something about somebody or towards somebody, and you can dirty them up that quick. Isn't that something? Do you know you got the power to do that? That's a dangerous thing. You know why my message is called "Shh"? Because we can really, really hurt somebody. We can defile somebody. We can turn the course of somebody's life. We can take these children in here. Brother Adam is a wonderful teacher on Wednesday night. But listen to me, he's got the weight on him that what he tells them and what he teaches them, it may direct their life. So it needs to line up with the Word of God. That's why it's so important that we don't give opinions, but we give God's Word. This is the only infallible truth. It's the only thing that's pure. It's the only thing that's holy. My words are not, but the Word of God is. It also has the power to destroy. Notice verse 6 as well at the end. And setteth on fire. You know what fire does? The course of nature. And I ain't got time to go in that, but it is something that is very important. And it is set on fire of hell. You can destroy somebody. You can literally destroy, as the Bible said in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can destroy somebody. Now, what kind of talk is this? What kind of talk can come out of this tongue? We can have dirty talk. We can have vulgar talk. Depressing talk. All that negative. You can depress somebody. Listen, this degrading talk, you can dumb somebody down with your tongue. You may know how to do something better than somebody else, but you ain't got to rub it in their face. You ain't got to talk down to them. Yeah, man, I'm going to hit them all. Listen, as defending talk, when you get backed into a corner, you'll say things you wish you'd have never said trying to defend your stinking flesh. Right? And then defeat and talk. But listen, the problem with the tongue. The problem with the tongue. The power, the pupils, the problem is that this tongue has no brain. The tongue alone. Don't think for itself. You know what this tongue's going to do? It's going to do whatever your heart tells it to do. Ain't that something? This thing is loose as a goose. It's loose. I'm telling you, this tongue right here will say things that'll make me blush. Am I right about it? My tongue will say things and announce things that, boy, it'll make me say, what did I say? So it can't think for itself. Now, the Bible says, he says there in verse number 7, he says, for every kind of beast and birds, serpents, things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, of us. But the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. I thought my mind was bad, but you know what? My tongue's bad. Now listen to me. This tongue is, it can't be, the problem with it is it can't think for itself, but it also, your tongue's not going to do anything that your brain doesn't tell it to do. So your heart, if you're not careful, it's going to speak to your brain. Right? What's in the heart? It's going to speak to your brain and say, listen, say this. Well, if your brain says, you ought to say this, and then your tongue's down there, it's ready to go. I mean, son, it's like a chihuahua in a kennel. That thing's like a rat on acid. It's in there ready to go. But you know what? God is so gracious. And I know everybody's heard this, but He's put a set of bars in front. Now, you that's got false teeth, go get you a set of dentures. You need a set of bars in front of that tongue. How many of y'all's ever had to bite your tongue? How many has ever gritted their teeth and said, boy, I'd like to tell them something on me. Anybody ever done that? That's God's second lock. Your mind's done kicked in, this done said, say it, say it, say it. And then something holding your teeth together. But you know what? That third lock is the best lock, and it's a powerful lock. Somebody, now don't take this literally, but you know, it'd do me a lot of good sometimes. It'd be a blessing if I had some of that Gorilla Glue, and I'd put it on like lipstick, and do like them women do, and rub it and rub it and rub it until it stuck. I'd be a whole lot better off, Brother Randall. I'm just telling you like it is. I'm telling you like it is. How much more effective would I be if I was hushed most of the time? If I just, shh, as the old saying is, if you ain't got nothing good to say, keep your mouth shut. Boy, there's a lot of wisdom in that, isn't there? A lot of wisdom in that. The problem with the tongue, the power of the tongue, the pupils. But let's look at the one that provokes the tongue. Let's look down in verse 14, and I believe this is the root, and then we're going to close. Verse 14, but if you have bitter envying and strife, that bitterness is feeling like the world's caved. You're mad at somebody for something they've said. You're mad at somebody for something they've done to you. You are in a ditch in that bitterness. Brother Ken's preached some great messages on that bitterness, and you ought to listen to them. Bitterness will kill you. Bitterness is one of the most dangerous things that you'll ever deal with in your life. And if you live long enough, you will get a taste of it. Envying, being jealous of somebody, and strife. Three things right there is the root of most things that you say wrongfully. If you're bitter, you're going to be like Job. You know, Job didn't sin. Job chapter number 1, the devil came and said, listen, if you'll take everything he's got, what did he say? He told God, he said, he'll curse you to your face. Chapter number 2, Job sinned not with his lips. At the end of chapter 1, it says he sinned not in anything he said. Chapter number 2, the devil come again. The devil said, listen, if skin for skin, if you'll take his help, I'm paraphrasing, if you'll take his help, what did he say he'd do? He'll curse you to your face. What's he trying to get Job to do?
Is he trying to get Job to kill somebody with a gun? No. Is he trying to get somebody to go beat somebody up? No. Is he trying to get Job to steal something? No. Is he trying to get Job to make a false god? No. But he's trying to get Job to use his mouth. He said he'll curse you. He'll curse you. Job's wife come on the scene a couple of verses after that and said, why don't you curse God and die? He said, you're talking like one of the foolish women. I'm going to keep my mouth shut. I'm just going to hush. I'm going to be quiet. Now next, chapter number 3, Job opened his mouth. We know when he sinned by cursing his day. We know all that. In chapter number 4 through chapter number 37 ain't nothing but a bunch of hogwash. That Eliphaz, Zophar, and Bildad come in there. I mean, it wasn't nothing but hot air that shouldn't have been said. And I know that because chapter number 42 says that. Matter of fact, they had to go to Job to get Job to pray for them. God will forgive them. So, Job's bitterness, Job's was, the devil was trying to get Job to sin with his lips. So we see the bitterness and the strife. And I wonder tonight, in this provoking, you know, Luke chapter number 6, verse number 45, it says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And I want to ask you tonight, and listen, we ain't talking about your wife, we ain't talking about your husband, we ain't talking about your neighbor. I'm talking about me. I'm preaching to me tonight. I want to know, has there been some words come out of your mouth? May have been coming out for quite a while now. But I wonder if there's some things that you flat out shouldn't have said. That you know wouldn't write. What's the root of that? You know, you can, and I've been there, you can say things and you can say, Lord, I'm sorry for saying, I shouldn't have said that. But there's a reason you said that. There's a reason that you was mean to that person in word. Maybe somebody in here tonight that said something to somebody in the church house. They're just flat out mean or hateful. You know what? I'd hate to stand in the way of what these kids... I'm praying. I'm just being honest with you, Brother Ben. I'm praying that God would come in this place. I believe Him to do it. I'm praying that He would come in this place as in days of old and blow through here and astound every one of us in a greater way than He ever has. I mean it. I want it. I want to see it. I want to see God come in here, and I want to see the glory fill this house in such a way that we don't know what to do. I've seen Brother Ken, Mr. Renee, I've been there as a pastor. I've been to the place to where I've sat in that chair over there as a pastor. I didn't know what in the world to do, but sit down and just shut up. Because the God of all glory would come in. And I've seen Him multiple times in this place. I've seen Brother Ken just sitting over there weeping and squalling. And I knew as a pastor, I knew he didn't know what to do. Just let God move. Wouldn't that be a blessing? And you know what? Grieve not the Holy Spirit. Can we get, Miss Emily, would you come just play something? Would that be all right? I just wonder tonight, God may have lit something up in your life. He may have. And listen, don't feel bad because everybody from time to time has said something that they shouldn't have. But the main thing is to get it right. Get it right. Deal with it when the Holy Ghost says, this is it. Deal with it. Do something about it. Deal with it. There may be somebody tonight that you want to make sure you hadn't grieved Him. I don't want to grieve Him. Boy, howdy. I'm fixing to bow. I just got done preaching. I felt the Lord on me, but I'm going to bow in just a second. And I'm going to ask God, Lord, keep me from grieving you. Keep me from saying something foolish that would hurt somebody. Especially in these last moments. We're just here for a little longer. Just a little longer. And I want to help you. I don't want to hurt you. Not ought to be our attitude is we ought to help one another. Boy, I want to help somebody. I know you're having a hard time. I know you're battling. I know you're fighting hell by the acre. And all you need is for me to come and pile something else on your back. But what I'm to do is bear your burdens with you. Wouldn't it be a blessing if we'd examine ourselves in this altar? While she plays, if you need...